Hey guys, we've got to that point in the show where we need to start depending on listeners like you to help keep this thing going.
What are we, fucking PBS?
Oh yeah, you know it. I'm LeVar Burton.
I wanted to be LeVar. Fuck. All right.
I caught it first. Yeah, I'm hosting Jeopardy.
Are you, though? Listen, guys, we need your help. To help keep the lights on, as they say, we are launching our Patreon for Masters of the Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have different tiers that you can sign up for and pledge to, just like PBS. You get some different real cool gifts and prizes and merch, depending on the tier that you sign up for.
Oh, we got all the tiers.
Oh, yeah. You can either be a friend of the show, friend with benefits.
Ooh.
We could start to get serious, or you could just put a ring on it already.
Yeah. Ooh, damn. And if you exceed that amount, you know, we'll send you some not safe for work pics if you want.
It's not safe for your eyes pics in my case, but
not safe for anything pics.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, check out patreon.com/MOTCU. Take a look at all the different tiers that we're offering. Lots of cool swag coming your way, from stickers to t-shirts to getting to pick the film that we talk about.
Yeah. The tiers started at $1. $1 a month. Come on,
what?
Folks.
That's it?
Yep. $1 to get in on that number one tier.
And all with right. that, you even get the live chat with us anytime you want, as well as a shout-out on every episode.
Right. So, come on, that's less than a cup of coffee a month.
Jesus, what a steal. Yeah, guys, right? Check it out. Again, patreon.com/MOTCU.
And then, enjoy this week's movie.
And we are back for part two.
Jesus Christ, we're still running that long-ass ad?
Well, we haven't had any new Patreons doing it.
Fucking my God. Can we have Satan do the Patreon ad?
I mean,
oh, fuck, please. Please.
You could record it, and I will probably put it in. You do have the best voice of all of us.
That's true.
No, we'll do it right now. We'll do
he
it
has
right
the best
now.
Everything out of all of us.
Join our Patreon, or I will fuck you in the ass. I'll cut your arms and legs off, and I'll wrap you in barbed wire, and you'll like it, and you'll take it.
But isn't there a Patreon tier where we will fuck you in the ass if you
want? I mean, anyhow.
Wrong show, Doug. Wrong
enough.
Show.
Yeah. I keep wanting to do like the crazy Saddam Hussein voice from South Park whenever you do that Satan voice.
Oh my God.
Satan, Satan, Satan. I can't do the voice though. Like, it's too high pitched. It's like too, way too Trey Parker for me.
Yeah. It's way up there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, we're gonna record something. Jesus, the thing's like fucking 5 minutes long. What the fuck? That's why there's no new Patreons, because they're willing to do it the first 20 seconds of the ad. They're like, oh yeah, cool, I'll do it. And then it keeps going. They're like, you know what? Fuck these guys. Like, they do a full 180 by the time they get to the end of that ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Oh, I have an announcement to make. I'm sorry, before we dive back into it.
Go ahead.
So remember on the Vegas recap episode?
Yes.
I may or may not have talked about on the air anyway, about the fact that I accused the room service cleaning the room cleaning people of stealing my reading glasses.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. So
because they need those. They can't just right. get a pair well, of no, fucking Walgreens for $2.95.
I accused them of doing it because the reading glasses were inside a Ray-Ban case. And
I thought,
well, Erica was packing for her trip, and she was unpacking the carry-on bag she used for the Vegas trip. And guess what she found?
Oh no.
So
you owe someone an apology.
I am a horrible person for blaming the house cleaning staff. I love you. I did tip them quite nicely. But I feel really, really
got
rotten.
Them fired.
No, I didn't do that. I don't have enough energy or care to actually call and complain. But yeah, I feel really bad that my inner person was very hostile to them, and I apologize for that. So I just had to get that out there. So now I have two pairs of reading glasses.
It takes a big man to admit when they're wrong, man. You know, sometimes
I felt really bad because I was pretty nasty. I was way more nasty like off the air than I was when I mentioned it on the show. So anyway, all right, that's out of the way now.
Yeah. So I'm going to get back to reading my notes. Now that I don't need reading glasses, but you know, I get to see glasses for everything. So yeah. I wonder if it's worse, like, honestly, like
what?
Having to have reading glasses or just having to have glasses, period?
Dude, I have both. I need glasses for everything, but I need different glasses for reading, so that's worse.
How old is this motherfucker?
Exactly.
I also love that in the group chat. We, you know, everyone's trying to be serious, and here's me and Andrew just making jokes about how old you are.
I know. It's all good.
That's how you can tell we love you, because if we didn't...
Now I'm officially old.
Yeah, I mean, just saying.
I ain't 59 anymore.
Yeah, but in 9 years, you get a really nice...
I can't wait birthday. Till I'm 69.
I know.
You want to laugh? I had a 69 joke with my...
Yeah?
My daughter said 69, and we both went, nice.
You're like, wait a second.
Like, you're like the coolest daughter ever.
Everybody loves a nose in the butthole.
All right, start reading your notes there, bitch.
All right, bitch.
Search yourself. You know it to be true.
So, we get the Smith and voicing his concerns with Event Horizon quite loudly, gets in kind of a fight with Weir, and says he's not staying on the ship 1 second fucking any longer. He's gonna go start working on the repairs outside, and Cooper goes with him.
Wait, I'm sorry. This just gives me the opportunity because you mentioned Smith. So he's played by actor Sean Pertwee, who back then, before Jason Isaacs and him were like more like well known, I used to confuse the shit out of the two of them, like as actors. I thought they were the same fucking person until this movie. I'm like, wait a minute, there's two of them. But real cool bit of trivia, Sean Pertwee's uncle, John Pertwee, was the third doctor, Doctor Who.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Yeah, if you look him up, you'll recognize him immediately, John Pertwee. But Sean Pertwee, he was Alfred in Gotham. He was Alfred
Payne. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's that guy. He's one of those guys in that thing. Like, he's one of those character actors. He's that guy from that thing, from that movie you saw, like, all those years ago. And he's been in a bunch of shit. I always dig him as an actor. I follow him on Instagram because he's got a cool Instagram, too.
Nice.
But, yep. Anyway, go ahead.
All righty. So, the rescuers, like, all start to be experiencing strange sightings. Peters is in the medical bay with Justin, who once all of a sudden disappears, and her son Denny is there. Now we saw earlier in a video she had to leave her son behind, and she's gonna get to see him in the summer. It's kind of a point of contention for her. She sees him, and his legs are covered in like all kinds of lesions and stuff. And she finds at this point a video of the crew that was the original Event Horizon crew preparing for the journey. But then that video is abruptly followed by a log that has a bunch of scrambled images in it. The audio, however, is very, 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 very unmistakably the same disturbing sounds that we heard on the ship's last transmission. Mm-hmm. She's going to try to work on this and clean it up a little bit. But all of a sudden, the ship gets a power drain, and it's coming from the gravity drive. At this point, Justin starts to convulse and starts to ramble. He says, the dark is coming. The dark is coming. Weir and Miller then run to the gravity drive. And Weir says he needs to get inside and fix something. There's something that's causing the power drain. And he goes into this cool little, like, fucking hatch that goes into these like weird Jeffries tubes that are bright green. Looks like the inside of a circuit board, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it was very, you know.
But that whole thing is weird because he's crawling on what is perceived to be circuit boards, right?
Yes,
yeah, 100%. So he's crawling on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me they're not circuit boards. So why the fuck are they glowing? Like, other than to provide light, but it's a weird light. Why isn't it just a solid green panel? It's just like...
Because it looks cool.
It looked cool, exactly. It's because it looked cool, yeah. You know?
As he's doing this, he opens up a board, finds the faulty component, and pulls it out with his little tool. The lights go off and he sees something go behind him. He's like, what was that? Then all of a sudden,
hold on a second. I had an issue. What is he a doctor of? Like, what does he know how to do? What does he know how to fix circuit boards? But he's also a physicist. Like, he just knows everything about.
He knows everything.
Yeah. I mean, he built the ship.
Well, based on our conversations, he's a doctor of proctology.
Yeah. That's called a proctor.
Yeah.
Proctor. Exactly.
The lights go out, and then all of a sudden he sees his wife again without her eyes, urging him to join her. It's fucking creepy as fuck.
Yes.
And how they did that, the eye thing. I guess just makeup over top of the actual eyes. I don't know.
That was the other two-thirds of the budget.
Yeah.
Listen, on a production where they're willing to hire porn stars to fuck Amphi's each other in the ass, they gouge that woman's eyes out. That's what they did.
Yeah. And at the same time, Miller sees a burning man rise out of the pool below the gravity drive, and it's fucking creepy looking.
Yeah.
At this point, the team starts to discuss the hallucinations with each other. And Miller starts to think, like, hey, these might not be imagined. These might actually be manifestations that are on this ship happening. And that's what brings us to our next actual clip here.
Common dioxide, I can produce hallucinations, impaired judgment.
God damn it, DJ, it was not a hallucination. Right. Doctor, you were in the duct. You must have heard something. You must have seen something.
I did. About an hour ago, I saw my son lying on the examination table. And his legs were
crawling. If you don't mind my saying, sir, it sounds a little like shock. Could it be that you're traumatized by seeing the body?
No, excuse me, no! I've seen bodies before. This was different.
She's right. Now, this is real. I felt heat. This is not something that's in our heads. Smitty, have you seen anything unusual at all?
No, I haven't seen anything, and I don't need to see anything, sir, but I can tell you. This ship is fucked.
Well, thank you for that scientific analysis, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, well, you don't need to...
Fuck, that's okay, not Smitty, figure it okay. out, do you?
All right, Doctor.
When you break all the laws of physics, you seriously think there would be a price? I mean, you already killed the last fucking crew. Smitty. I know you want to kill us as well. Fuck.
Just shit. Do you understand? It's just a big hunk of metal. There's nothing odd going on.
DJ?
DJ.
You alright?
Yeah.
Just... sorry, I don't...
Hey,
fuck
out
there!
Smitty,
that's it! Fucking...
that's enough! That's enough! I want you calm! I want you cool! Now!
You're going back upstairs. You're going outside on the Clark with Cooper. You're going to repair the ship. No mistakes. Mistakes, nobody goes home. Understood?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Sir, get moving.
Miller.
What is it, Stark?
I ran the bioscan with the DNA RNA filters. The results were bio readings
of an indeterminate origin. Yes, I know. Don't you have anything useful to tell me, Lieutenant?
I've got a theory.
Let's hear it.
I think that there's a connection between the readings and the hallucinations. Like they're all part of a defensive reaction, some sort of immune system.
I don't have time to listen to this.
You have to listen to me.
To what?
I'm saying that the ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
As if the ship brought back something with it, a life force of some kind.
What are you telling me, that this ship is alive?
You wanted an answer, and it's the only one I've got.
No, what I want, Lieutenant, is to survive the next 10 hours.
Yeah, so, shit's starting to get fucking real. Like, you know, they're starting to, like, realize, hey, you know, I seen some shit, and it didn't just seem visual. It seemed, like, actual, you know. I felt
heat. Yeah, yeah. And now it's a shared experience. So, you know, it's you start to get that confirmation, like, oh, other people are seeing things, too. It's not just me.
Yeah. Everyone's starting to realize that. And, you know, all Miller's worried about is, you know, fuck, we got to get the fuck off the ship. Like, I ain't sticking around here to find out what happens next because this is like
the scene when Peter sees her son.
Yeah,
that's another scene that in its full length completely grossed out the studio.
Oh, I imagine.
There were maggots and shit crawling all over his legs, and it was like prolonged viewing of that. And the studio execs were like, no fucking way is that going in this movie. So yeah, it's another of the director's little gems.
Oh yeah.
Studio notes, too many leg maggots.
Too much amputee porn.
Yeah, exactly. Not
enough anal.
Yeah.
They didn't save the Strangely, world. Yeah. They didn't save the world. They don't deserve it.
It's true.
Yep.
Those are Kingsman rules. A short time after this, Peter's noticed that Justin has woke up from his catatonia and left the medical bay. Then we get another power drain, followed by a bunch of loud banging noises. And several crew members start to notice that the door that they're standing behind is getting dented by an unseen force. We're like in a fucking trance, just decides he's going to go try to open the door. It's like everyone else like fucking frightened. And he's like, oh, I should probably open this door. Like there's something behind it. Clever girl. Although he does refer to the ship as a she, and I wish at one point he would have been like, clever girl. Like this would have been perfect. But Stark stops him.
He wasn't the one that said that.
There you go.
He wasn't?
No, that was the other guy, Muldoon.
Oh, Muldoon. Fuck. I don't know why I always thought it was him.
No, man.
The hunter.
I feel like an asshole.
I'm sorry. Do we not call Joe out on this show? I'm sorry.
We do.
Like I said, I'm low energy tonight.
I feel like a total asshole.
I got you, Pops. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You should feel like an asshole.
I was thinking that it was the Jurassic Park 2 when he was on the fucking airplane for some reason.
No, it's right before
Muldoon gets eaten.
Oh, no, that's right. The raptor talks to him on the airplane in Jurassic Park 2 or 3. I don't fucking remember. There's too many.
What? The raptor talks to
him. The raptor say something to him in his dream or something? Like he's on the airplane flying over to the island?
Joe having a stroke?
Hold on. I clearly remember a scene of him like on an airplane.
I always thought Doug would be the first one to have a stroke. But I mean,
oh, Doug's going to have a stroke later tonight.
not tonight. But
a sober stroke.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson's coming over.
Yeah, you know that scene where the velociraptor was like, hey, yo.
I could have sworn the raptor says something to him.
Yeah, let me bend your ear for a second, man. This whole dinosaur island, I don't know. And why are we on a plane together? That doesn't make any sense.
I know this is a thing. I cannot be. It's Jurassic Park 3. He has a bad dream, and the fucking raptor talks to him.
What does he say?
It says Alan.
That's it?
It says Jurassic Park 3's talking velociraptor scene should have been more than just a dream. One of the most memorable scenes, for better or worse. In Jurassic Park 3, a dinosaur says, Alan. So fuck you guys. Fuck you all. I was right about something.
I don't know, suck that dick.
My velociraptor
porn.
Hold on, that's a raptor.
also sure that exists. At some point, somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
As does Rapture Point. We notice an alarm going off, and we see, like, someone's in the airlock, and then they realize it's Justin, and we get this fucking horrible scene that I'm going to play. Because it's really, it's good, but at the same time, it's horrible.
Justin, open the door. Justin, open the door.
Did you hear it?
Keep him talking.
Yes. Yes, I heard it. Do you know what it is?
It shows you things. Horrible things.
What does?
The dark inside me from the other place. I won't go back there. I won't.
No, baby bear. Come on, open the door.
What's happening?
I don't think she can talk him down.
He's better. He opens the airlock, he's going to turn inside out.
No. No, you stay with me.
Almost got it. I've almost got it.
You stay with me, Justin. Come on, now open that door.
If you could see the things I've seen, you wouldn't try to stop me.
No, that's not you talking. That's not you talking. That's it. That's it. Right there, open the door. Go for that button. Come on. Okay. Okay.
Justin just activated the door. It's on a 30-second delay.
Justin!
Stand by for decompression in 25 seconds.
Where am I?
Hey. Stark, gotta fucking open!
Hey, open the door.
I can't! The inner door won't open when the outside door's been triggered. It would decompress the entire ship.
Oh my god. Mama Bear, open the door. Come on, please. Captain!
Patch me through to him.
Captain Miller, tell them to open the door.
They can't do that, Justin.
I don't want to die in here.
You're not gonna die. I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I'm gonna get you out of there.
Oh my god. It's starting. My eyes!
Don't think about them. Shut them. Just shut them as tight as you can.
5 seconds.
Tuck yourself into a crouched position. Make yourself into a ball, now.
I can't breathe. Oh god. Oh god, god. It hurts.
I want you to huff. And puff and blow all the air out of your lungs. You hear me? All the air out of your lungs, Justin. Do it now! Okay, baby bear. I got him. I got him. Stand by, people. Stand by.
We've got pressure. I'm coming, Captain. Coming.
What? Afraid I'm going to need 5 minutes here, Sage. Come on, hold this head, Chef.
Okay.
Great. Give me some more insulin now.
Keep breathing.
Stop the bleeding. Stabilize them best I can.
He won't be pretty, but he should live.
If we make it back,
we'll make it.
Stark, what's our time like?
CO2 levels will become toxic in 4 hours.
All right. Peters, we've got to find out what happened to the other crew before the same thing happens to us.
Well, I can work on the log on the bridge, but I won't go back to medical. Yes, sir. Justin said something about the dark inside me. What's that mean?
Doctor?
I don't think it means anything.
Don't you walk away from me, mister. I'd like some answers, Doctor. I'd like to know why one of my men tried to commit suicide by throwing himself out of an airlock. I'd like to know what caused that noise.
Thermal changes in the hull could have caused the metal to expand and contract rapidly, causing reverberations. This is possible.
Bullshit! You built this fucking ship. You've given me nothing but bullshit.
What do you want me to say?
You said the ship's drive creates a gateway.
Yeah.
To what?
I don't know.
Where did it go? Where did you send it?
I don't know.
Where has it been for the last 7 years?
Look, I don't know.
I don't know is not good enough, Doctor. You're supposed to be the fucking expert. I need answers. That's your job. Now, the other place, where is that?
I don't know. Look, there's a lot of things happening around here that I don't fully understand. I need time.
I see. Well, that's exactly what we don't have, Doctor.
Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Yep.
Okay, so... First of all, that fucking airlock scene is the scene that has stuck with me more than any other from this movie.
Yeah.
This shit is brutal.
Why the fuck did he... I've never noticed it until just this moment, but why the fuck did he turn into a Staten Island grandma?
My eyes. Oh! He said my eyes. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I like the switch though from him being possessed to like back to like,
oh yeah,
knowing who he is and like, oh shit.
Well, it's like the possession did it on purpose. The demon did it on purpose.
Because it wanted him to
let
feel
him
the pain.
Experience how fucked up this was.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, with plenty of time left. And then the whole fucking just him rushing to get there, like to put, kick him back in and stuff. And like,
yeah.
But he was exposed to space enough for blood to come out of his eyes and, you know.
Oh, yeah. It fucked him up pretty good.
Yeah. It was a fucking crazy scene. We also come to find out at this point that, you know, they don't have a lot of time left. Like, they're going to run out of fucking oxygen, which, of course, in space is pretty important.
But, oh, also, there's a lot of smoking of cigarettes going on inside of these ships.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fucking accurate.
Especially if you're running low on breathable air. Fucking smoke them if you got them, boys.
If you got them. Also, you kind of see the break in him now, like where he's like, he's losing his confidence in everything. Because he's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm trying to make an excuse for shit, but I really don't fucking know. Like, I can't tell you an answer because I don't know. At this point, Miller like walks off and starts experiencing more hallucinations. He hears someone crying for help. So Miller like sits down and has a talk with Captain Lorca. I mean DJ. He tells him that the burning man he experienced was somebody he was in the military with called Eddie Corrick. He was forced to leave him behind once when a fire broke out on one of his previous ships. I like how he talks about, have you ever seen fire in zero gravity? Like, it's fucking like trippy.
I wonder if that's true.
I'm assuming it had to be pretty, because heat rises, but that's thermodynamics. So I don't know if like that would, gravity would affect thermodynamics. It's an interesting theory to think about. I don't know. My mind's been starting to think about this crazy shit now.
Yeah.
I need a gummy.
For the rest of the night. I'm like, I'm fucking, no, fuck that.
Thinking about fire and zero gravity all night. I'm sure Mythbusters did it at some point. It's getting pretty clear and evident that the Event Horizon can now like zone in on the members' personal fears and secrets and use these to torment them. DJ, you know, after hearing Miller's story, says he's listened to the original recording again, and he realizes he was mistaken because he gets a little bit more. It doesn't say liberate me. It says liberate tutu me ex infernus, which means save yourself from hell.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. DJ thinks that the ship's drive has somehow opened up a gateway in space-time, but it actually led the ship outside of the known universe and took it back to another dimension. And that dimension is basically the human concept of hell. Sorry, I'm trying not to cough into the microphone as much as I can. It's hard, though, because I have to talk a lot. I just got to hit the mute button. At this point, they get the original video log reconstructed. However, we don't get to see it because they decided to edit it out. And to the crew's horror, in this video is the original crew of the Event Horizon.
Yeah, it was like those quick cuts, right? Like quick scenes of...
Yeah, they just like flashed it on the screen. I didn't realize that it was all drawn out like that. That they actually had fucking...
Oh, yeah. Gorn.
Yeah.
There's sex, torture, mangling, self-mutilation, cannibalism, and sodomy.
At the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there was 18 people on the ship, so I mean,
call that a fucking Wednesday around here.
It was a gorgy.
Gorgy.
Oh god damn. Oh, all right. I really want to Google that word right now.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Kiss that laptop goodbye.
Yeah, I don't think I should Google gorgy. No.
The real question is there an E after the R or not?
that is the question, Joe. That is the question.
So I'm gonna play a little bit of a clip here of the, you know, of that of that recording they're listening to.
I'm telling you, it was his voice I heard. He was calling to me. A young bosun named Eddie Couric. We served on the Goliath together. When the O2 tanks ruptured, four of us made it to the lifeboat, but Couric was still on board the Goliath when the fire broke out. You ever seen fire in zero gravity? It's beautiful. It's like liquid. It slides all over everything. Comes up in waves. And they just kept hitting him. Wave after wave. He was screaming for me to save him.
What did you do?
I did the only thing I could. I closed the lifeboat hatch and I left him behind. I swore I'd never lose another man.
I've known you a long time. You never told me that.
That's just it, DJ. I never told anybody. But this ship knew about it. It knows my fears. It knows my secrets. Gets inside your head and it shows you.
I wasn't going to tell you this. I've been listening to the distress signal. And I, think I made a mistake in the translation.
Go on.
I thought it said liberate me. Save me. But it's not me. It's liberate tutte me. Save yourself. And it gets worse. Liberate tutte me. There. I think that says X. Inferis. Save yourself from hell. Look, if what Dr. Wade tells us is true, this ship has been beyond the boundaries of our universe, of known scientific reality. Who knows where it's been, what it's seen, and what it's brought back with it.
From hell. You don't believe in that kind of stuff, do you?
Whoever sent that message, he sure believes in hell.
Captain Miller!
Whatever it is, Coop, it better be good.
Yes, sir. Ready to repressurize the clock and get the hell out of here.
On my way. Come on, baby, don't let me down. Hello, baby. Papa's home.
She's holding.
Oh, shit.
Skipper, we're still bidding trace gases. Give me about 20 minutes to plug the hole.
Mr. Cooper, you are the lifesaver. 20 minutes and we're underway.
Coffee?
Yeah, it is cold.
Great. Stark! Oh. Miller?
We're leaving.
No, we can't leave. Our orders are specific.
Rescue the crew,
Salvage what's left of the ship. The crew is dead, Doctor. Your ship killed them.
We came here to do a job.
We're aborting, Doctor! Stark, download the files from the Event Horizon's computers. DJ, I want you to get Justin prepped and ready to move him back to the Clark.
Stuff I want to get from medical. Gotta move him in the tank.
No problem, do it. Peters, I want you to get the CO2 scrubbers back into the Clark. Take Smitty with you. It's done.
About my ship, you can't just leave her?
I have no intention of leaving her, Doctor. I will take the Lewis and Clark to a safe distance, and then I will launch attack missiles at the Event Horizon until I'm satisfied she's vaporized. Fuck this ship!
Don't.
Captain Miller, the bioscan just went off the scale. It looks like the core is draining power from the rest of the ship.
Get the files. Vacate. I want off this ship.
You can't leave. She won't let you.
You just get your gear and get back on the Lewis and Clark, Doctor, or you'll find yourself walking home.
I am home.
Oh, fuck this ship.
Yeah, I know. I love that line.
Also, I didn't realize I left that whole first part where he was talking to DJ in, or I wouldn't have read that part.
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine. Nah, but I do like the way the scene ended, though, with I am home, and he kind of just like descends into the fucking darkness.
This is also where he gets like the whole fucking Anthony Hopkins vibes for me, like vocally.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I think Fishburne's acting got way better during this part. Like, I don't know. I feel like this is his fucking sweet spot.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, because like, he's really done with the fucking bullshit. He's like, okay, fuck this. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm tired of all these goddamn hells on this goddamn ship.
I think this is where dude excels, personally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's called, the original name of this movie is going to be all Hells on a Spaceship instead of Snakes on a Plane. But, you know, they couldn't get Samuel L. Jackson, so, you know, they decided to change it up. I think he was too busy filming Pulp Fiction or something when this was happening. They decide they're going to leave, and he's going to blow this ship out of fucking existence, which I like. It's like, I'm just going to fucking fire as many things as I can until I'm, you know, fully satisfied that it's been destroyed. At this point, Smith and Peters are starting to collect the remaining O2 filters by the core to take them back to the Lewis and Clark, because it's been repaired at this point. It did have a small leak left in it, but they were, you know, putting the last couple touches on that. Cooper's outside, you know, hammering away at that. Peters, though, however, as they're leaving, is lured back when she sees her son standing in the core. And she starts to follow him up these, like, tubes to an upper level. And she walks towards him and just does the fucking craziest fall down this, like, shaft that has these fucking triangle-shaped stairs that just, like, she hits every single one of them on the way down. I just want to hear like a goofy like whoa. Yeah. And the damn bam bam bam, and then hits the bottom, fucking lands right on the track, water splashes, fucking gruesome. And she dead, you know. We're having now abandoned the crew, goes back to the core and sees her body. And we get this crazy like scene of his wife. He's back in their apartment. And I don't know if she can see him really or not, or if she just doesn't care. Like, I still haven't been able to piece this together. Like, he's trying to, like, interact with her and stop her from what he knows she's about to do, because basically he's reliving that day again that this happened. And basically she's, like, getting herself all made up, brushing her teeth, putting lipstick on, brushing her hair. And she goes to get into a bathtub. We get some titties and, you know, some suicide.
It's both of those things we get.
Yes.
Well, I like how they enter. Like, it wouldn't be Gorn if we didn't.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I don't know. I don't think that she. I think she was just a manifestation of the whole. You know, it was his hell, quote unquote hell.
Yeah.
So it may not have even really been her. It was just, you know, him being forced to relive that.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he gets back up to her, and once again he's like begging her not to do it. And he comes up. She has no eyes. And then all of a sudden, you see him back into the event horizon again out of the apartment, and his eyes are just getting crushed into his skull. Her reanimated form is asking him to, you know, basically join her and return to the hell dimension. And he basically just starts to rip up and mutilate his own face. Miller, while inspecting the main corridor, notices that one of the explosives are missing. At the same time, we see Smith inside the ship, like talking to Weir, like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And Weir's like walking back out the hatch onto the event horizon. And then they realize that, oh shit, he must have put one of the explosives on the fucking Lewis and Clark. Smith is like looking around everywhere for the explosive. He finds it, and just as he flips it open, you know, there's like 5 seconds left on it, and you just see the fucking, like, his face just like, fuck, I'm done, like, nothing you can do. And it explodes, you know, disintegrating him and basically blowing up the ship. And just as that happened, you know, Cooper was on the outside putting the last little fucking, like, rivet into it, and he goes flying off into outer space. And I actually pulled this quick clip because I fucking love this.
Shit! Where the fuck am I going? Why is this shit gonna happen to me? Think. All right. I gotta get back to the ship. All right. I gotta blow my air tank. All right. Fuck. Oh, this better work. All right. Here I go. All right. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Yes. Here I come, motherfucker.
Wheels, don't fail me now. I would say Cooper is like, I know he's just the comic relief for this movie, but he's like my favorite.
Oh yeah.
We see Miller then back into the ship grab one of those bolt rivet guns used to that they've been using to repair the other ship, and warns DJ, hey, to be on the lookout for Weir, and if he sees him, just kill him if possible. As we do this, you know, DJ's looking at some like surgical tools, and he's trying to grab like a bone saw or something. And just as he does that, Weir is there to kill him. And Miller can hear basically over the intercom like DJ getting killed. So Miller runs to the medical facility where he finds a fucking just crucified like body, like completely wiped, ripped open, and like guts hanging out of DJ. It's very artistic, honestly. I don't know how I had enough time to do that, to be, if I'm being real.
It's some more Hannibal Lecter stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But actually, the original scene had him still alive with his guts stringing down from his body onto the table and his heart still beating and he's still fucking alive. But then that got nixed by the studio as well because it was so gross.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the scene that was there was pretty bad too. But yeah, it did look a lot like Silence of the Lambs there.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Sorry. He puts the gun down as he sees Stark and goes to try to rescue her and help her up. And then he discovers at that point that Weir is there in this fucking creepy ass fucking scene of him sitting in the chair and he has the gun in his hand now. And his face is just ripped to fucking shreds at this point. You see like the full fucking like devil in him that's come out. And I know I'm playing a couple clips in quick succession here because we're getting towards the end of the movie. But here's another quick clip here for, you know, the interaction between Weir and Miller. And it ends, of course, with Cooper doing his, you know, best. Or maybe that's the next one. I can't remember if that's this one or the next one. But it's one of these ones coming up.
Oh, my God. What happened to your eyes?
Where we're going, we won't need eyes to see.
What are you talking about?
I created the Event Horizon to reach the stars. But she's gone much, much farther than that. She tore a hole in our universe, a gateway to another dimension. A dimension of pure chaos. pure evil. When she crossed over, she was just a ship. But when she came back, she was alive. Look at her, Miller. Isn't she beautiful?
Your beautiful ship killed its crew, Doctor.
Well, now she has another crew. Now she has us.
What do you think you're doing, Doctor?
You wanted to know where the ship has been. So now you'll find out.
You miss me, you blow out the hull.
What makes you think I'll miss?
That's right, I'm back! I'm... Oh, shit, I can't stop!
That's when he becomes full skateboard. What? I mean, what? Wait, who? What? What the fuck? Oh shit!
It's even better when you just hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I like how they take this, like, the fucking super creepiness of this scene and just completely ruin it with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, they could have just let Cooper die out in space.
Yeah. You remember that alien encounter ride at Disney World?
Yes.
And it was so good, it was so scary that they overdubbed like some fucking comic on the audio. It was too intense. So like when the blood sprayed from the ceiling on you, you could hear in the background someone yep. going like, "Hey, my mouth was open." It's like, "Come on, guys. You didn't have to fucking do that."
Ah, I love it.
But yeah, they're doing this crazy fight scene now where the two of them are fighting and like trying to basically like kick each other out the fucking airlock that's like, well, I guess window that fucking blew open. And Weir ends up getting sucked out into space as this happens. And Miller and Stark barely hold on, but they do end up escaping from the bridge. They get another jump scare as Cooper like comes back in through the door. Somehow he got back to the ship. But the three survivors then decide to implement an emergency plan by blowing up the ship's corridor and using this forward section as an escape vessel. Stark and Cooper start making preparations for this in the forward section. And as they do this, like, blood starts filling up everything. Like, it's like all fucking crazy. The tank gets filled with blood. The fucking lighting gets filled with blood. And then basically like you get a fucking blood tsunami coming out after them. As this is happening, Miller's arming all the explosives in the central corridor, and grabs the detonator, but suddenly he's confronted and cut off by a burning manifestation of his comrade Korik again, who starts to shoot fire at him. But he realizes though that this isn't Korik. This is actually Weir, who hasn't left. And this is going to play us out. This last clip's going to play us out of this movie, and then we'll discuss a little bit before we get into our ending here.
You left me behind.
No, you're not in the court. I watched him die.
Weir? The ship brought me back. I told you she won't let me leave. She won't let anyone leave.
Did you really think you could destroy this ship? She's defied space and time. She's been to a place you couldn't possibly imagine. And now, it is time to go back.
I know. To hell.
You know nothing. Hell is only a word. The reality is much, much worse. Let me show you.
Don't go! dead. They're not dead.
Not yet.
They're not your crew anymore. They belong to the ship.
Gateway open.
Take me. You take me, you leave them alone.
No. There is no escape.
The gateway is open, and you are all coming with me. Do you see? Do you see? Do you see?
Yes. I see.
Rescue 1. We have contact. Approaching the wreckage of the Event Horizon. Prepare to board.
I'm entering the grav couch bay. It doesn't appear to have been damaged in the explosion. There appear to be 3 survivors. Cooper, Justin, Lieutenant Stark. Justin seems to have suffered massive injuries, but he's still alive. The grav couches still have power. I'm opening the first tank now. It's all right. It's okay. You're safe now.
Justin, Cooper.
They're fine. They're fine. They're with us.
They're with us.
Stark.
Stay calm.
Stark, calm down.
It's
me.
All right. Breathe deeply.
Stark.
Breathe deeply.
It's the rescue team.
I need a sedative here now.
I got you, Stark. I got you.
It's okay. I need a sedative here now.
Stark, it's the rescue team. We're safe.
Okay, I need it now.
We're safe.
Fucking epic ending.
Yep.
So the ship blows up. Miller is left with Weir in the gravity drive section of the ship as the front goes out. The gravity drive section actually gets sucked into a black hole, which is kind of what leads me to believe they could continue on with this. I don't know what they're going to do in the show because it could go any which way, but it does leave me hopeful that something cool is going to happen. I also like the turnaround on the intro where like they were in the stasis and they came back out like with the fake dream, and she comes back out and sees Weir again as part of the rescue team.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment, because like I thought, oh shit, maybe that's the twist of the movie. Then like they didn't get away. Then all of a sudden, nope, fuck you, everything's okay.
Everything's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that's Event Horizon. You know, fucking epic sci-fi horror. I don't really know what else to say about it, but I really enjoy this movie quite a bit. So that really leaves us one thing left to do here.
I am a movie critic by trade, and until recently, I got paid to tell you people which movies merely stink and which ones you shouldn't screen near an open flame. Well, I'm putting the burden of lousy movies back on you. It's very simple. If you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making bad movies. If the movie used to be a TV show, just don't go. After Roman numeral 2, give it a rest. If it's a remake of a classic, rent the classic.
Tell them you want stories about people, not $100 million of stunts and explosives. People, it's up to you. If the movie stinks, just don't go.
If the movie stinks, just don't go.
You love me. You really love me.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Are you not entertained?
All right. So, as our guest here, and, you know, avid listener and Patreon of the show, I know you know exactly how the word...
I am two of those things.
I know how the rating system works of a scale of 0 to 5, where you can give it anything in between that, with 5 being the best and 0 being the worst, so I don't really need to explain that to you, but... Right. We'll let you go first. Give us your take on this movie and your rating.
You can use decimal points, but yes, you knew that.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So, all right. I'm trying to separate my love for this film from the actual film.
You don't have to.
I mean, this, like I said, this is one of my, I don't know, probably top 5 favorite movies. And I understand its shortcomings. I get it. But man, it's everything that I loved as a kid, like space and scary shit. And it kind of looks goth, which was also one of my favorite things. Man, I'm gonna have to go with the 4.8.
Nice.
With 4.8 nice. and the 0.2 because of the cuts and the lack of amputee sex.
Yeah. I mean, if I got the full 136 minute version of this, I might give it a 5.
Right. Yeah. 4.8.
All right, cool.
Nice. Doug, where do you come down on this one?
Me. It is one of my favorite horror movies. I remember loving it when we saw it in a theater. And I've watched it countless times since then. Anytime it's on, it's one of those things I watch. I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's got its issues, but it's a rock solid horror movie. I mean, it really is. And I love the premise. So all that said, I'm going to go with a 4.2 on this one.
Nice. Eric?
It's not that I don't like this movie. I like this movie. I think it's a cool concept. And I dig the actors. And, you know, I think I can't get into that rarefied air with the score. Like, I feel comfortable giving it a 3.9 out of 5.
Okay.
I think, you know, not its limitations are super apparent to me, you know, on this watch. So I know we talked about it before, but man, if like you got somebody to remake this movie now,
yeah,
I feel like you could do that script justice in a way that this doesn't.
Yeah.
I think, this may also be when we eventually get this on re-ratings. If you get to watch this again and keep in mind that they were trying to not remake Alien, but really stay away from that, I'd like to see how that influences like a rewatch score from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think cause like you got fixated on the fact that this was a lot like Alien, but the irony was he was trying to make it not like Alien.
Yeah.
I could see that. That's fair. And to be fair, to, you know, give credit to them. It is certainly nothing like Alien once you go down that road.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I mean, it's unique. It's definitely unique.
It kind of looks like Alien.
Yeah,
it does look.
It does. Yeah. No, it absolutely does.
Well, I mean,
it
looks you're like trapped a in a ship in space. Alien. Like, yeah. it's kind of, it is what it is. Like Eric said, limitations on that. I remember loving this movie since I first saw it in theaters. And this was a flop in theaters, believe it or not. But
It was.
It created, gained a massive cult following because it's just one of those movies, which. For some reason, those movies seem to speak to me more than any other movies. Like, the movies that necessarily didn't do good at the opening, but then, like, everyone finds them, and, like, their word of mouth spread. That's always how I've been on movies, too. So, like, it's kind of interesting that this falls in line with that. We all know my stance on most horror. It takes certain types of horror for me to get involved in. This is right up my alley. The mystery, the not knowing what's actually happening, it being sci-fi and space, all that kind of stuff. You know, I really vibe with this movie a lot. Also just love the cast and the acting in this movie. Even like the one like weaker spot, I find him to be such an endearing character that even if he's doing the fucking skateboard, kid skateboard, oh shit, not again. Oh my God, what's going on? Oh fuck. Like to me, it still works. I mean, it did ruin that scene. I'm not going to lie. Him coming back into the end of that ruined that scene for me. But at the same time, I loved it. So it's one of those love hates. This is an Idiocracy, so I can't give it a 5. So I'm going to go 4.8 also with Will on this one.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
I think this is an amazing movie. And I've never met anybody who's watched this that didn't like it.
My wife.
Really?
She did like. She called it silly.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it being a lot of things, but silly, like it's like the not a word like, I use for it.
When we had to reschedule this, she was like, "So you watched? We watched that silly movie for nothing." Those were her exact words.
Ooh, damn!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me guess. She watches 90 Day Fiancé.
The Bachelor.
Well, the Bachelor. Look. I'm okay with it. Also, old man Bachelor, Doug, you should get into the line for this. They decided to make an old version of The Bachelor.
No, I know. The Golden Bachelor. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
The Golden Bachelor.
Look, I mean, right now is the perfect time. You don't have any beer at your house for a reason.
Like, I know that, but they reached out. I said no.
Yeah.
I guess like they didn't want the...
Can't, man. Wife said no.
It's like the episode where Aaron Rodgers' brother was on it, and they couldn't get Aaron Rodgers to come on, so they didn't want that to happen again with your brother.
Well, the whole problem with me being on it is that there would be bloodshed because the women would fight over me so much they'd end up murdering each other.
Now, fuck, you got a good point there. So,
fucking me right.
They don't want that. It's not a horror show. They don't want.
Yeah.
You know.
You know.
Well, I'm always up for some amputee sex.
Yeah. this would have got a 5 if I got the 100. I want. I you know, it sucks. Like, I want to watch the episode of fucking.
Hey, I'm sorry. They're only amputees because of the Sugarfoots.
Okay. Exactly.
Continue, Joe. I'm sorry.
I really hope, like, at one point, like, you know, they've had, like, 2,700 seasons of Curse of Oak Island. Can we get a show where people find the deleted scenes from this movie? Like, maybe that's what's in the bottom of the fucking money pit is the fucking deleted scenes of this movie.
Exactly.
Look, imagine when they finally get down there, if they find the gorgy scene from this movie. Like...
They're it's the fucking... it's the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's the fucking lost footage from this movie.
Like, they open the Ark of the Covenant, and it's the missing fucking 40 minutes of this movie. Oh, that would be incredible.
It's a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, the Vagina Brothers. I mean, Legina. So, that's Event Horizon. Yeah, I think overall we say this is a movie people should watch.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
it's a good time.
If for some reason you're like... sent to outer space while you're on shore leave and you accidentally get, you know, into a ship that's possessed. Is there somebody you can call to, like, complain about that?
I believe so. Thank you to show sponsor Mo DeWitt, DeWitt Law. Just call Mo.com. If you are injured on the go, just call Mo. If you have legal questions, just call Mo. If you are being raped by demons, just call Mo. I mean, you know, that's not cool. Check out justcallmo.com for cheap and free merchandise. The Halloween magnets are pretty fun. There is no Event Horizon magnet, although I feel like now there should be.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
That would be pretty cool. But I think there's like a Freddy
one.
Can
you make Event Mo-Rizin?
Mo-Rizin. That's the next ad campaign for Mo. Yes, thanks again. And we also have some other people to thank.
Yeah, we do. We got some Patreon members to thank. These fine folks give us money every month, and we really appreciate them for it. So we're going to read their names. We're going to start off with founding member, Hannah Christ. Joe, she rode Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
today.
Cosmic Rewind.
Absolutely loved it.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely loved it. One Way or Another was her song, and she was thrilled.
So nice.
That was cool. All right. Next up, another big fan of Disney. He goes a lot with his family, Mr. Peter Bianco. From the Tone Jerks podcast, the Second Button podcast, and the Off the Rails podcast, Mr. Brian Gower. And Brian, I got to say that I'm a late addition to the party, but my son Tim and I have been sharing Shane Gillis videos back and forth to each other for a couple of weeks now. He's a funny fucking dude. He really is. Next, our guest host tonight and our co-host on the Just Surprise Me podcast, as well as the Sharing Maps podcast, Mr. Will Lehue. Thank you, Will. We really appreciate you, bud.
Thank you for having me.
I was really hoping you'd forget him.
No, no. I usually forget the name after him, but I'm not going to tonight.
Tiny Raw Dog?
Yes. From the Single Path podcast, the Texas State Boggle Chess podcast, and the Texas Ice 10-4 podcast, Mr. Tony DeGraw.
Yes.
Shadow Band.
From the great state of Tennessee, as well as Mr. Lehue, Mr. Michael McVeigh. Go, Michael.
Go, Balls.
We also have Mr. Michael Van Zandt. Thank you, Michael. And last but definitely not least, Mr. U.G. Rection. Thank you, Mr. Rection.
Visit patreon.com/MOTCU to support the show, you cheapskate.
Yeah, so really, this month of October is going to be fun. We're going to release some more horror movies this month.
Yes.
Maybe more Gorn.
Maybe some horror movies. Some horror movies? Horror?
Horror movies? Isn't that the password?
Is horror just like more horrors? Like,
oh no, orgies. The password.
This movie's more horror than the other ones.
Yeah.
What other movies we got coming up this month?
Well, Eric's up next. What do you got, Eric?
We're going to jump into Bubba Hotep, starring the legendary Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fun one.
Met that man once. He's amazing.
Yeah, nice. Dude.
It's awesome. He's like so nice. Everything you'd want him to be.
And Douglas. Nice.
And I will be following that up with an American Werewolf in London, which is a all-time classic horror movie. John Landis at his best. So
hell yeah. This is going to be a fun month. So
yes.
With that being said, there's really only one thing left for us to do here, and that's a little bit of lights.
I can't do that, so camera.
And I just want to say, you guys got to stop kink shaming me this whole episode. You know, I like what I like. Fuck off.
Oh. Hey there. It's me, your buddy Eric, and I am here to remind you about the monthly art show at Hourglass Brewing in Longwood, Florida. Every month, there's a different theme, sometimes movie-related, sometimes not. We've had MCU, we've had Star Wars, we've had John Carpenter, and all of these amazing local artists will contribute to the show. The art will be hanging all month long, but the best part is that you have the ability to purchase any of that local art and bring it home. Again, check out Hourglass Brewing in Longwood, Florida, and tell them MOTCU sent you.